Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Art of Construction, I hope you're crushing it out there today, and wherever you're driving or working, you're having a wonderful, wonderful day. And today we're going to have a wonderful time talking about Built Week that we're so pumped to be the official podcast for the Digital Built Week coming up in Seattle. And one of the really cool things we got to do with them is they introduce us to a few of their awesome speakers. And one of those that's coming down the pike at Digital Built Week is with Philip Bergsicker. And Philip is right there in Seattle. And today we're going to go on a journey and talk through some of the amazing projects that he and his company are working on. So we're going to be talking about the presentation he's going to be giving at Digital Built Week is called Emerald City Jewels, Building Dreams and Possibilities. So we had a great pregame that we're going to talk through some awesome case studies and some amazing projects that he and his company are working on. So let's dive in, get going with the speed round, and have some fun with Philip. What's your favorite beverage?
Well, I think I'd have to go with a 12-year double wood Balvenie.
Wow, that is specific. I like it. Knows his stuff.
I just keep going back to what's good.
Attaboy. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
I would say the Guanacaste part of Costa Rica, which is the northwest part of Costa Rica. I think that's one of the best places I've ever visited. It's got seven different ecosystems, you know, from sunny beaches all the way up to a high mountainous volcanic, you know, environment. It's in the culture there is just amazing as well. So if I could go back to Costa Rica, you know, once a year, I'd be happy.
Awesome. That's one of my dreams to go there as well. So cool stuff. So I apologize as we're going through the speed round here in Studio AOC. We're building out, we've been talking about our experience centers. If you hear a little bit of noise out there, we got really good audio, but we're finalizing Denver Station. So I apologize, we're audio freaks, but you may have heard the saws going back there, but the art of construction is always moving forward. So I want to know outside of construction, because man, you and your company got some cool stuff going on in construction, but what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena we passionately call the art of construction?
Oh, well, when I'm not working, I really like to spend time with the kids, and I found myself coaching baseball and football over the last like 4 or 5 years of my life, and that's a real joy for me. I think it teaches me quite a bit about myself and even how to handle myself in the professional world as well. But there's nothing that gives me a better kick than coaching my boys' baseball team and football team.
Awesome stuff. Well, we got to know a little bit about Philip. Tell us your journey and what you do with Hoffman Construction Company today.
So I've been with Hoffman I'm into my fifth year right now, and I'm in the BIM and VDC department here in Seattle. And we really, Hoffman is a fairly large company. It's one of the bigger general contractors in the Pacific Northwest. We have over 500 or 600 employees. We were founded in 1922, and our annual volume is, you know, right around $1.5 to $2 billion a year clip. So it's a pretty significant company. We do some unbelievable projects, and our BIM and VDC department, there's a handful of folks here that have influenced it over the years. And, you know, we're definitely pushing the limits on what we're able to do. And we can aggressively go after some of the more complicated structures in the Pacific Northwest.
Awesome. And I'm so excited to go in and learn about a few of those projects where we have a construction company that's forward thinking, but you're a good sized construction company that has these focuses that the art of construction is really going in and asking those questions as the paradigm shifts really happening, and being, you know, honored to be a part of Digital Built Week that you'll be presenting there. So before we go into those case studies, you had, when we were previously talking, you had mentioned the ACIG, and I'm asking all these questions where the world of abbreviations, and there's so many amazing groups and platforms out there that stands for the, what does ACIG stand for, and what is that group all about?
It's the American Contractors Insurance Group, and there's a high level of focus on safety and quality. And so there's different focus groups. BIM and VDC is one of them, and I've been honored to be a part of that that group and lead. I'm not so sure that there's a lot of talented people that are part of that group. I've just signed up for the next 6 months to a year to help lead discussions and what that future in the BIM and VDC world looks like as it relates to safety and quality, and how we're able to use these technology tools to bring up the bottom. And you know, most of the general contractors and that are part of that group are really looking to improve their business. And so it's been an honor to be a part of that and learning something new every single day.
Cool. Well, thanks for giving that information. Is that this is a tool for contractors and affiliates to grow their business, and we all struggle. There's so many tools out there, right? So I could definitely feel your passion with the ACIG, so the American Contractors Insurance Group. I wanted to make sure we give a plug, and we work really hard on the show notes, so there'll be a link to that and another place to go check out for you. You got to be safe, and all that stuff is super important. So thanks for giving us that information. So we're going to go in and have a little case study journey, because that's really what your presentation is all about. And you guys have worked on a lot of great projects. So is it cool with you that we go in and talk through a few of those awesome projects and kind of you give the story about them? And then we'll go in and talk through some lessons learned and some cool things about those projects. And maybe we'll leave one at the end where you can leave them dangling the carrot to maybe come join us at Digital Build Week and hear some more conversation. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good.
Awesome. So when I was doing the research and we were discussing, you talked about MoPop. And I don't know the background or anything about that. So can you guys go through and give us a story about that project?
Yeah, sure. So MoPop, it was formerly known as EMP, the Experience Music Project. It was constructed in the 90s, and I wasn't with Hoffman at the time, but I still am fortunate enough to work with one of the gents that was part of that project. His name is Dale Stenning, and they've just recently rebranded it Museum of Pop Culture, and it's just an amazing Frank Gehry building. And you know, I'm really excited for the built folks to come check out this facility and just think about kick it around in your own mind on how something like this could even possibly be constructed. And you know, one of the things about the MoPop project and Dale Stenning's involvement was the fact that they had to use a tool that wasn't commercially available yet, which at the time, I should say, commercially available in the AEC industry, right? It was in the mid-90s. There was still some high-end design tools out there for aerospace and vehicle design and things like that. But they actually had to go out and find a software like that that could actually do the job at the time. And so it's an interesting project in the fact that they used CATIA. And I think that, you know, when I first met Dale, you know, several years ago, I think we had that connection because I grew up in Michigan in the Detroit area, really close to the General Motors Tech Center. And they were grooming us to get involved with design technologies at an early age. I think I took my first drafting class at sixth grade, if that sort of tells you anything about the Detroit market. And so I was already sort of groomed to be involved with these new design technologies. And I had gotten really proficient at Unigraphics and AutoCAD at the time in the early to mid 90s. And somehow, some way, it just sort of, my career transitioned over to the AEC industry. And so Dale and I had that sort of technology sort of history. And I think that, you know, when I first came to Hoffman, we really hit it off in that way where, you know, we just use the tools that are given to us and are needed depending on what the project warrants. And in his case, it was CATIA. So super complex structural really curvy, you know, wide, major, you know, large, wide flanges with just unique connection points all over the building, so that the facade could fit properly. And it's just a technological beast. If you're able to just take a look at some of those pictures of the facility. So we're going to talk about Dale's experience in how they were able to successfully deliver that project.
So correct me if I'm wrong, your company came in and did like a rehab of that and has been involved in doing a lot of the, you know, the crazy cool stuff that this place has. Am I understanding that right? So your company did a renovation of the original facility?
I think that once the project was complete, the relationship between Paul, Allen, and Hoffman has just never went away. And so when that particular client has tenant improvements and they want to upgrade that facility or add a new feature, typically Hoffman does have the ability to work with them directly.
Gotcha. And that's an important lesson learned for the AOC tribe, is that when you go out and push the envelope and you're the one that does amazing stuff, like the pictures of this place, like I haven't personally been there. And that's what's really cool about, like, go to the show notes. And if you're coming to Bill Wheaton, like, this place is unbelievable of the, what's been done there. But when you go push the envelope and become the trusted advisor for a project like that, you're the one that they call going forward, especially when you're connecting the dots on how to make all that stuff work, right?
That's correct. And we have several relationships in Seattle with, some of our key clients, and, you know, being invited back to bid on these projects is something that probably every general contractor strives for, to have that repeat work with that repeat client. So we've been able to do that at Mopop.
Awesome. And the next one I had to hear you talk about is the Space Needle.
Yeah, this has probably been in the press for a couple of years now. It's this was an amazing project. I was glad that I was able to be a part of it to some extent. It was a complete retool of the Space Needle. You know, full glazing like that. You can see it right there. There's no mullions or anything like that. It's just an amazing project. What was interesting about it, though, is that it was never shut down. We never closed it. We were able to finagle and work with the client to make it a safe place to build their new dream, essentially. And, you know, what's interesting about the Space Needle is, you know, when you look at like a set of contract documents or engineered drawings and you see some symmetry there, you know, it looks pretty symmetrical, right? It's circular in shape and you'd think that things are, you know, just right. But we were able to, you know, get in there and scan this thing and really cross-reference and work with the design team and how to best fit their vision into the reality of what was actually built, you know, 50, 60 years ago.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we put pictures in the show notes, because we're working together. Like, the homepage is like, when they say clearly breathtaking, like, it's just unbelievable. Like the shot that they captured there on their homepage. So super cool that we'll make sure to talk about that. What's one story about working on an amazing project like that, that is interesting?
There's a couple. I'll speak to a couple of them. I think that the logistics of working on a project like this, you know, 400 and some plus feet in the air, while it was still open to the general public, in a safe manner, was very challenging. And you know, we'll be able to showcase some of the technologies that we used to make that happen and get the scaffolding up there safely. And it was that part is very interesting. I would say that from a technological standpoint, just to make it actually the vision come true, like that glass, what's interesting about this project is that the glass had to be ordered, you know, almost a year in advance of actual construction. So the as-built conditions had to be spot on. And we had some, you know, everyone, you know, I shouldn't say everyone, but there's a large portion of our community that understands laser scanning and scanning technologies. And in this case, we actually had to turn, because of the rotating floor, we had to turn the scanner upside down to scan the underside of the structure to see how that would all tie into the new work. And so that was one thing that we had to overcome, because there was just no other way to find out, you know, with the spacing between the structure and where all these structural interfaces are going to happen. And we were able to sort of inform mullion size and find a common glass size to get those glass orders out the door in time and give the client some spares to have in their back pocket over the years for facility maintenance.
Thank you so much for telling that story, because I'm sitting back and just as in Colorado, I own a window and door company, and you say ordering the glass a year in advance and, you know, laser scan, we had to put it upside down. I just raised my hand and asked the questions, is that a lot of people don't even know what a laser scanner is, let alone we had to put it upside down for rotating this and all the different questions. So I commend you for that story, and I'm so intrigued to be at Digital Build Week and hear your presentation on how your confidence is king now when you work through these tools, to where you're like, once you do something like this, it just keeps raising the bar. What specific tools around scanning did you use for this project?
Yeah, so I guess before I get into that, I'd like to mention that we self-perform survey at Hoffman through Ming Surveyors and just a bunch of brilliant folks at Ming. We couldn't do this stuff without their help. But they use a handful of different scanners, and I believe that on the Space Needle project, we used a Faro scanner. But there are a handful of other ones that they're familiar with as well, Leica, and I think that there might be folks listening in that have heard of a BLK 360. So there's a handful of different tools. I think that our preference is Faro.
Cool. Thanks for that. And what I hear from you is that Hoffman, you go out and get the right expertise in knowing there's multiple tools, but you really align those strategic partners to really make this all come together and have the expertise all aligned, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I guess if there's one thing that I've learned over the years is that you can't really ever discount somebody's knowledge in any one particular market, and scanning is no different. That's why I really like to talk up our self-perform survey crew at Ming is these guys and gals are able to scrutinize the technology, because these are surveyors, right? And so if it's not, if the tolerances aren't meeting their expectations, they're the first ones to sort of raise their hand and say that there could be a potential problem or risk on our end using it. And so it's definitely worth, you know, bringing somebody in that's an industry expert to weigh in to some of this technology that our industry is leaning towards.
Awesome. So we talked about a couple projects we'll put in the show notes and get information. And I challenge you listeners to come hear his presentation and many others like this, where the lineup they have is amazing, of these people that have used these tools and bringing them all together into Digital Build Week. Any new projects or one that you kind of dangle the carrot that we could hear, know more about, or stay in tune for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, Seattle's construction market is probably one of the best in the world right now, definitely in the United States, and the projects are just coming in, and our skyline is changing, our infrastructure is changing on a day-to-day basis, and luckily Hoffman has been a part of that journey with Seattle and Metro Seattle with partnerships with Sound Transit in the city of Seattle, and we'll be able to talk about some new projects that are up and coming. I had mentioned earlier that the viaduct is in the middle of demolition right now. It was just a liability for the city. It was an older bridge. In this part of the country, there's this imminent worry about, you know, earthquakes and things of that nature. So they decided to take it down and build a tunnel underneath the city. And once that real estate is sort of opened up and free from a bridge, the city's going to have some really ambitious projects into really lightening it up and accessing that water. And the Overlook Walk project in Seattle is going to be one of those iconic projects in Seattle. And Hoffman is lucky enough to be a part of that transformation in Seattle. And it's essentially going to tie in Pike Place all the way down to the to a new aquarium right down to the waterfront. And, you know, this is going to be one of those situations where we're going to have to take the technology to this project to the next level. You know, there's going to be pedestrians walking all over the place. There's going to be traffic. It's going to be highly visible. You know, it's as-built conditions. There's a train running underneath a portion of it. There's a tunnel running underneath it. It's an amazing project. It's multiple general contractors working on the same site. So just logistically, we need to make sure that we have our plan in set, and technology is part of that plan. So we really get the pre-construction folks and the logistics folks together and see how to best approach this so that it runs smooth, the quality is top notch, and it's a safe site for the Seattle public.
I love when you passionately talk about this stuff. Like, a lot of people would probably say that's a lot of scary stuff of moving trains and people and all the logistics around that. But you, like, you're just jazzed about it. And I believe technology is a big part of that, right? That you guys are using these tools. When I research it and see the renderings of this place, the technology has really helped guiding you with a lot of this stuff. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, in the simplest of terms, I mean, we really are trying to build this facility virtually in a model and account for any potential risks along the way. And that allows us to, you know, see a designer's vision through all the way to the end. And I get excited about this. I've never really worked on a project where I was like, oh, that's a little, you know, that could be a little shady. I just feel so confident that with designers, engineers, construction managers, and people are in our industry, there's really nothing that we're able to really, you know, not overcome. We can overcome quite a bit with enough planning, and these tools allow us to see that vision through.
Awesome. And I thought I was excited to come to Digital Build Week before. Now I got to go see these projects, and I can't wait to hear your presentation. But a guy like me, when I raise my hand and say, this will be day one for me coming to Digital Build Week, that the people I've met, it's just mind blowing what Digital Build Week and Build North America has put together. But have you been part of this evolution in the conference for a while? Because when I look, I'm trying to understand, there's, you know, everything has natural progressions and different name changes. Could you kind of, you know, back the horse up and maybe bring me up to speed a little bit, as I'm honored to be the voice to help make this continue to move forward?
Yeah. You know, Built was formerly branded as RTC, which was Revit Technology Conference. And that was right around the mid to early 2000s is when I first got involved with these folks. And, you know, at the time, BIM and VDC was a real buzzword, you know, in the early 2000s. And, you know, I sort of hinted towards my past in being involved with digital tools in Detroit for so long, that when the idea of a new tool for design, engineering, and construction came along, aka Revit at the time, I jumped all over it, because it was just it was obvious to me where the industry was going. So I wanted to be a part of that transformation, and RTC was one of the better venues that I had been to, where there were people just as passionate as I was about learning how to best use this tool. And it quickly, over the years, turned into something much bigger, right? It wasn't just about using Revit. There was scanning technologies. You know, there's estimating technologies, there's facility management technologies, there's new engineering technologies. And so there's data management, facility management. And so it has just morphed into this massive undertaking to completely revisit and revamp the way that a project is delivered to an owner and how that data in that facility is managed by said owner. And, you know, I can completely understand why they had to rebrand it. And you can see, you know, by going to their website, you know, they have a day-to-day, they have DTS, they have Building Design Summit. I mean, there's just, it's all over the place right now. And it's just fun to be a part of it. And I'm glad that they're back in Seattle. I've known Wesley Ben for, I don't know, maybe a dozen years or so. And I'm really excited that they're coming to Seattle and watch a city change its skyline in a very short period of time.
That was super helpful. And thanks for bringing us all up to speed, that all of us that are joining the bandwagon, that for you early adopters that have pushed the envelope. So I commend you for being one of those early adopters and talking through these tools. So give us one more cliff notes of what your presentation is going to kind of be, a revamp, a little bit deeper dive what we talked about today, right? Titled Emerald City Jewels.
Yeah, the Emerald City Jewels, you know, it's great, again, that BILT is coming here to the Pacific Northwest. And we thought it would be a real treat to discuss some of the iconic architecture that is in this city. And, you know, I have at my disposal, like I said, Dale Stenning is going to be a co-speaker with me. And it's really actually me introducing the rest of the world to this, to Dale and the things that he's done and the technologies that he's used for, you know, well over 20 years now that, like I said, it wasn't normally commercially available at the time. So he was a real leader in that way. And, you know, if you're going to, you know, when in Rome, if you're going to be here in Seattle, I mean, what better thing for us to do than talk about how we were able to deliver some of these projects and future projects that are redefining Seattle.
Awesome. So if I were to wave the crystal ball for the future with technology and construction, what would you say to the Art of Construction tribe about that?
You know, there's a lot of discussion about the way that data can be collected and used with iterative design and really honing in the most efficient way to design and build something. And, you know, it's something along those lines. You know, one of the things that I've been keeping my eye on, and it had all been sort of theoretical at, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, and it's this advent of model content as a deliverable. So moving away from a contract document and having the actual model be the document. And so that essentially would be, you know, the stamped contract document. And so that model content is what's going to be consumed. That's what the bidders are going to bid on, you know, in conjunction with, you know, specifications and details that come along with it. But the model is getting to the point where it's way more informative than any other contract document that you could possibly ever muster up. So we're starting to see that transition. And it's super interesting. There's a lot of challenges that we're going to have to overcome, but I'm looking forward to actually consuming a model as that's the contract deliverable.
I totally agree. And that's, I've been listening and learning from all you amazing superstars in the AAC industry, is that BIM is not a product. It's part of the process. And that building information model, the model has better information than reinventing the contract documents every time and trying to get that upside down scanner to order the glass a year in advance and all that stuff. The model is the guiding principle with all those tools around it. Is that kind of the synopsis of what I'm hearing from you?
That's exactly right. And I think that the industry is going to see more and more acceptance from, you know, an engineer on record, you know, a plumbing mechanical engineers, you know, send a submittal and a transmittal that has an engineer's stamp that says this model is very accurate and should be used. And therefore the contract documents are becoming a little bit more lighter weight.
Awesome. So we always leave the Art of Construction tribe with one thing. We always want to keep thinking to grow our business. So what's that one thing that you, for our contractors and affiliates to grow their business, that you want to leave them thinking about?
Well, I hinted toward, you know, towards this a little bit earlier, but you know, in the early mid to 2000s, there was this new idea of how to design and build, you know, better. And it quickly grew into a lot of different avenues. You know, like I said, it was estimating, it was document control, it was scheduling, it was iterative design. And so there's a lot of moving parts to this sort of renaissance in the AEC industry. And I guess if I was, you know, a contractor, I would want to really get somebody that understands technology in a broad sense and how all of those bits of information relate to each other, like you mentioned earlier, in the grand scheme of things, in the process and the workflow of design, construction, and operations. And so that would be my takeaway, is try to understand it all in context.
Well, Philip, thanks so much for coming and telling us your story. I will try to find one of those beverages you mentioned at the beginning when you and I can meet up, and cheers to a fun week and learning a ton at Build Together. I'm so excited to hear your story and continue to learn more about each other in the AEC community. Thanks so much for coming and telling us your story.
My pleasure.
So many lessons learned there, Trav. And I love when we get to bring in real case studies and talk about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And I'll raise my hand and say, boy, when I dove into this, it was scary because you don't know what you don't know, and you're jaded by what you think you know. And you go through this journey of like, you know, is that tool for real? Is that really something I should use? But boy, I can tell you, the folks that I've met with around Digital Build Week are just blowing my mind. But they're also really bringing the real world aspects to that. And that's what, either you're grown or dying, and that's what the Art of Construction is all about, to move the needle for you contractors and affiliates to grow your business. So check out the show notes. If you have questions, reach out to us on the message board. There's a great team all around putting this Digital Build Week on. We'd be happy to get you introduced and meet up with you at Digital Build Week. And this is one of the many amazing presentations in July in Seattle. So let's go check out the Seattle skyline and the Space Needle and have some fun in July, huh? Thanks so much for listening. Great job, Philip, that you work with at Hoffman. Crush it out there.